Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I always feel like I can preach after Kimberly sings. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Jimmy Coonan came in this morning and she said, I've just got terrible pains. I've just been in my body. And I thought, well, we'll pray at the end of the service. And I said, you want prayer now? She said, yes. And Robert and I got the oil and we went and prayed for her. And she began to shake all over and kind of went to her knees and finally the floor. And she wasn't going to go to prison today because of the pain, but she's going. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to do the supernatural. My son Andy, Pastor Vineyard Church, he just felt led of the Lord to put up a sign, free prayer, standing on a parking lot. And people are stopping. They're stopping. And they're getting healed on the parking lot. I saw a video clip last night of a guy that said that he couldn't even walk straight and he was running after they prayed for him. And you see, God is doing that. He's doing that. And that's what this is all about, is reaching out to the people. So good we can come here like this. But there's a whole other world outside these walls that needs this hope that she sang about. I met Kimberly when she was 17, and she's been singing ever since. In 1989, 90, we began to talk about what we could do in Tyler. We had started churches in Mexico and Belize ministry, and what can we do in Tyler? And I know Kimberly said, I just drive down Gentry Parkway, and I know there's people behind those doors that need the message of Jesus. We've got something that is an opportunity that I believe we're supposed to do. We're part of a group that is called the KEEP, a ministry of reaching out to the orphans and the kids on foster care. And we've got a brother coming in September to kind of share with us about that opportunity of how that we as a congregation can embrace that if it's no more than what they call wraparound, which means that if a family is adopting a child or they've got foster kids, that somebody else will come and say, can we sit with them tonight so you can go eat? Just some things like that. But there's a part of that program that we are aligned with called Portal, and I'm getting emails every week that says that CPS, which is across the street here, have found a need in a family, and it could be something like a little repair job or something. So I think we should start a new adopt-a-block, Jason, that we would take those contacts and send a team out and say, we're from Living Hope, and we want to do something to help you. And I believe that God would be pleased with that. You know, we have ministry that we're a part of for disaster relief when a disaster strikes. Well, to that person, that's a disaster. And it doesn't have to be Van Texas, although that's a great need, but it can be just across town here that somebody is in need. And that's what showing the love of God is all about. So we're excited to be part of that. And I think that we've got people here that can just rally together and say, we can do it. We can do it. And so we're going to begin to coordinate that. If other churches grab hold of that, that's fine. You don't get too much love, do you? Don't get too much hope. Amen. Bless the Lord. Last week, I shared a message that basically of preparation, how we can prepare for the difficult times ahead. You know, we are seeing unprecedented things happening in our world, in our country, every week. From the disasters that are coming to killings to various situations, storms, we know that there are some unprecedented things happening. This week, right here in our own city, in our own courthouse, a county employee in the county clerk's office has resigned rather than to compromise her values. And you see, that's what we as a church have got to be at, is, are we going, like I said last week, are we going to cross the line and say, we're on God's side? Who's on the Lord's side? They said, stand here. We're on the Lord's side. Well, then we have to rise up and we have to say, we will not compromise our values for the flow of a world that is in a tailspin, that is going towards hell, that is going towards destruction. But there's going to be a remnant of people that are going to rise up and say, but we're the light. When those plagues came up on Egypt, well, there was a natural light instead of darkness in the land of Goshen among the Israelites. And that is the way that God is going to do. We are going to be a separate people. We're going to be inclusive of others, and the world is welcome, and we want to go to them, but we have got to rise up and be strong in the Lord. And that I talked last week about how that the walls of Jericho fell, and that by faith Rahab did not perish. I talked about Gideon, about Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, who by faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all, this is the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11. It says they attained a good testimony through faith. They did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So they went through fire, and yet we have that as a faith example of what we can face, and that God will be with us. You say, well, Pastor Joe, that's bad news. Well, as I thought about that message, it's so true that we need to prepare. We need to get mature in the Lord. We need to become disciples of the Lord so that in the face of any kind of trouble, we're able to stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. My pastor years ago, their youngest son was 16, and they had had girls, and they were so excited to have Robert, and not this Robert, but they, at age 16, he went out on a little school trip, and going too fast hit a tree, and a couple of the people died, including Robert. And I went over to Jacksonville that day, and I remember my pastor saying, let's pray before we go in there. And he prayed, Lord, you know, my heart is broken, but can you help me through this? Can you help me through this? And he saw that it was not going to be the natural. It was going to be the spiritual that was able to be there. When my own brother was killed when I was just barely turned 13 that week, well, when the call came in from Southwestern in Waxahachie that there'd been a wreck and that my brother and the five people got killed that night, my mother began to give out a message in tongues on the phone. And then she interpreted it, and it said, my daughter, I will be with you. I will help you. I will give you the strength. I'll give you the power, just like what she sang about this morning. And we are going to have to be a body of people that are prepared for whatever comes our way, in our locally, in our families, in our marriages, whatever, that we could stay firm in the Lord. And as I thought about this, the Lord dropped this message in my heart, and I want to talk to you from, put that picture up, that we have coming up in our theme for our conference in September. And it's a church conference as well as a Calvary Commission conference. And the theme is going to be in His presence. And this scripture says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, all of you hunters, just kind of forget that little deer standing there. But at least I've got your attention. But Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And folks, as we face the difficult times, we are going to need the joy of the Lord. If you've never discovered the joy of the Lord, then we're going to need to learn how to receive the joy of the Lord, and also how to know that there are joy stealers that are there to try to take that away and take it away so that you will not have joy. Because we know that we are people that are in need of joy. I can truly say that as I've ministered in Cuba since 1994, I believe that's about 19 years now, that I've never seen joy among suffering like I have in the people of Cuba, the Christians. Not the people on the streets, but the Christians. Because they have turned to the Lord in a time of need. And when they come into prayer, whether it's at home, whether it's together with two or three, whether it's in church, there's great joy. The worship is something I've never really seen anything like, because they've learned that they must have the joy of the Lord. In the King James Version, there's 166 times that talk about joy. In the word rejoice, which is very similar, 192 times that it's listed. So this must be something important for us to learn how that we need to have and to deal with. As in the days of like the charismatic move that came in, where the people from other churches that were in tradition, but the Pentecostals had their own tradition, that they learned that there was something new. The Holy Spirit was being outpoured in a new way. And these new believers that had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit had a joy that had not been seen before. You know, because I've ministered to churches, and I'd go to the traditional churches, and they'd be sitting there like that. And I'd go to a charismatic group, a home group or something, and they'd be like this, you know. They had found something new, something fresh that was there. And one of the songs that we were singing in those days, because it kind of went from the traditional hymns where that you just sing about God, or it, which is good, and we need some of those again, but it was more this birth of scripture songs that came forth, and one was this: joy, 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 in my heart it's ringing. Joy, 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 Jesus keeps me singing. Singing of his wonderful love for me, singing because he died and set me free, filling every heart with liberty. It's joy, joy, joy. Joy, you like that? Okay, hi, Joy. Okay, we got several joys around. And then at Christmas we sing joy to the world. And then the old hymn says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, that was a group of people when that came along somewhere about that time, World War I, World War II, where that there was a husband, a son, a brother, an uncle fighting and in danger's way every day. And yet the people would come to church, they were singing, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so we recognize that. The scripture in Nehemiah, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah had got very grieved as he and others had been taken off into captivity, and yet he had favor, and we can have favor among the government. We really can. I just got a call this week, a contact email from our director of the orphanage in Guadalajara, where our team is going, that in León, where we're starting another orphanage, that they went to the city, and they went to the government, and they presented the foster care idea that we're doing over in Guadalajara, the adoption we're doing with our children there, and they said they had never seen anything like it. And the group called DEEF, which means that's kind of like CPS here, they embraced it. They said, we want it. Said, get you a building. We'll get beds for you. We'll help you with expenses because we want that in our city. Now, see, that's favor. Well, Nehemiah had favor. He was a cupbearer, not a bear, but a bearer. That meant that he was the taster of the drink the king had, so he knew that the enemy wasn't going to poison him because this guy didn't die. And that's what he was there for. But all of a sudden, someone came in that was like a friend or relative from the old Jerusalem that had been devastated, and he heard about the wall being torn down, and he wept when he saw the destruction had taken place, and God put in his heart, I want to build it. I thank God for the calling of God that comes upon people that are submitted to the Lord, and God takes and uses a man to do a work, and he gives him a mandate, and they go forth. Well, that's what Nehemiah got that day. And he went over there, and with much pain, I mean, had enemies there saying, come down to us. He said, I'm building a wall. I cannot come down. I mean, and finally, they're at the dedication, the celebration part, and he comes out with this. He says, do not sorrow. This is not a day for sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we're going to need that strength that comes from having the joy of the Lord. Now, there's a difference between joy and happiness. You see, happiness is based on what's happening, and it's temporary. It's partial. It's not lasting. But joy, that joy of the Lord, is based on a calm delight of being pleased within yourself. And get this, and knowing that God is pleased with you. You will not have true joy until you know that God is pleased with you. That is real pleasure when God is well pleased with you. When it is God approved, and when that takes place, there is a joy that is there. Matthew 3:16. I like those 3:16s. I thought, I guess someone's going to come up with a prophecy that says on March next year, the 16th day, something's going to happen because it's 3:16. Well, I don't know about that, but there's several 3:16s in the scripture that are very well scriptures. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Don't you want God to be able to say that about us? This is my church, I'm well pleased. This is my family, I'm well pleased. This is my son, this is my daughter, I'm well pleased. You see, there's the pleasure of the flesh, and there's the pleasure of God. The pleasure of the flesh and the pleasure of God. Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen to this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Pleasures of sin for a season. We have people among us, perhaps every one of us, that participated in some form of pleasure, but it was sinful pleasure. And it was for a season. It was just a little bit of time. It was that fleeing that took place with great consequences that followed, because pleasure seekers are not ever going to be satisfied, and there's never going to be a reward for those that are seeking pleasure for fleshly reasons. You see, today we still see people living without hope, and that's our evangelism challenge. The two common responses to hopelessness are despair and self-indulgence. As that hopelessness comes in, then they got to turn to something, because they need the joy of the Lord. They need forgiveness of sin. They need a new life in Jesus. They need the hope that comes from knowing that you're going somewhere in life and you're going to heaven when you die. And that this self-indulgent means that they turn to addictions. They turn to pleasure-seeking. They turn to medicating. There's a situation there that happens because they find no other way. Someone told me one time, when we said there is hope in Jesus, and they said, I only thought the only hope was in dope. That was my only hope, is I could find some dope, because I could feel a little different for a while and then I could move on. That there's sexual fulfillment people are trying, sinful situations, and so we have to learn the proper response to the difficulties we face in life. It should always be to trust in God and trust in His promises. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:1-8. That ran down my arm, but it feels good. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. You believe we're there? Well, they thought they were there. But if they thought they were there, we should for sure think that we're there. It's in God's hands. But it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. That anybody? Any of those? That's quite a list. Then he says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households, make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is the pleasures of sin for a season, but there are long-term consequences and eternal consequences when there is a love for sin, a love for the pleasures of sin. We have some examples in Luke 17, 26, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, they divorced, I added that, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So they were trying to find that happiness in their own way. They were living a life of sin with a little pleasure for a season. Verse 28, likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But that same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. There's a common thing, you see it on Facebook and everywhere, that don't judge me. That's the favorite scripture. Judge not that you be not judged. I just like to say again that the Word of God is your judge. And as you read scriptures like this, you realize that judgment is coming. You say, well, I don't understand God. There's times that I want Him to be so merciful, and He acts just like that, like Ananias and Sapphira. Other times it seems He waits and waits and waits. But the fact is that when the time came, He rained down fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. As in the days of Noah, well, as in the days of Moses. We had Moses here this morning. Moses goes up to receive the Ten Commandments. He's with the Lord on the mountain. And Aaron, who was his, priest that was there, listened to the people. The people said, oh, he's been eaten by a lion or something. He's not coming back. We don't have anything to worship. So make us something. And he said, well, give me your rings and everything and all your gold. And he melted it and he made this calf. And then he said, here is your God. And then all of a sudden, well, Joshua was up there with Moses. And he said, I think there's a sound of festivity down there. And he said, no. Moses said, no, it's not a sound of happiness. It's a sound of destruction. And he goes down and he finds them dancing and all of their ritualistic things they were doing, endeavoring with their pleasures of sin. And judgment came. And he ground up that calf and he threw it upon him. And people died because of their disobedience. And these were pleasures of sin for a season. It didn't last long. Their party was stopped. There was a party pooper that went there and stopped it. As in the days of Lot, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Moses, as in the days of Jesus. In Luke 15, he talks about how that there were a man that had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, I'm getting out of this place. I want my portion. Give me some money and I'll go find some fun. Give me some money and I'll go find, you know, it would be a guy looking for a connection today. And it says that he went out and he wasted his inheritance in riotous, prodigal living. He was out with the girls. He was out, had plenty of friends. And finally, they all forsook him when his money ran out. And he only found a job in a hog pen. And he was so hungry, he could have eaten the hog slop. You see, sinful pleasure for a season. So why do people seek pleasure? Because we're going to have to grow up as believers to where that we are going to be on the Lord's side. Luke 8:14 says, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, they go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. And so here is people that they did not have the good ground. They were not ready. And so when the word went out, well, it didn't go in. See, when we preach, when we teach, well, God's plan is that you receive the word of God. We try in every way. I try to talk slow enough. I try to add a little humor sometimes. I don't mean to. It just comes out. But but David's got me beat. And to keep people awake, we do this. We do graphics. In how we can ever do it to get truth into people that we are endeavoring to build a life that's called a disciple of the Lord. Well, see, they went out to sow, and they went among thorns. And I have to ask you this morning, are you one of those thorny believers? Because if you are, there's no fruit that comes from that, no maturity that comes from that. And what is it that happens? It's the cares of this life. It's riches, or a longing for more, a desire for more. It's that which says it's all about me. It's something that what will please me. I need something better and bigger. And like the man said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn and build greater barns, bigger barns. I'll say to my soul, be at ease. And that's people that are in pursuit of riches. I just know that God does supply our needs, and He wants us to have those things that are adequate, that are able to get us where we need to go, and that He's promised that if he feeds the little birds, He'll certainly feed us. And man, I've been feeding lots of people all this ministry, 45 years that I've seen God supply the need for food. I mean, He just does it. One time, a truck went by one of our ladies' homes, and they were praying for God to give us food, and a sack of potatoes fell off and fell right there at their door, and truck kept going, so they had potato soup, potato salad, baked potato, hash browns, French fries. So God does supply our needs, but as we have a pursuit and our longing is for riches and then the pleasures of life, that it's got to be fun, it's got to be pleasurable, it's got to be that which satisfies our flesh. None of that compares to the joy of the Lord. It brings no fruit to maturity. We need to be that good ground that'll bring forth fruit. Are you a thorny ground Christian? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You see, this is a spirit of lawlessness. It's saying, I do not want to be part of authority. I resist authority. And I want to do this. And he says, turn this away. You see, there is a desire, a problem with this joy problem is that people feel there's a need for to get away. I need some diversity. And during that time, be very careful. I mean, yes, God wants you to go on a vacation, but be very careful that you don't let the enemy have control in a lustful world that is there, and the enemy is going to take advantage of everything he can to steal, kill, and to destroy. So during that time of, well, I just need to get away. I need to find a way. I just need to relax. And so in my relaxing, I'm just going to take a sip or two. Well, that's what we call sipping saints, which says I can take just a little bit of this. And, you know, they tell the officer every time they get stopped, I've only had two beers. He knows you're lying. He can tell it. But to say, well, I'm just going to have a little bit of this. We had a brother that was our, he said, Joe, you're meddling now. Oh, no, it. He said he was our clerk over at East Ham Prison. And then he got the chaplain got transferred to Cofield, and he asked if he could go with him as his clerk there. And he was doing very well. He even got an early parole and had a job selling, delivering bread. And he saw some old timers there and that he knew, and he said, well, I'm going to go, and, you know, I don't want him to think that I'm just, you know, so holy. They call me a holy Joe. No, as holy. They use Joe a lot of ways that are wrong, don't they? They, sloppy Joe. He said, I'm going to go and I'll at least have a cigarette with him. And let me ask you, do you believe Jesus would smoke? You think he would dip? Said, I'll go and I'll just have a cigarette. And then it was a little marijuana. And he was hooked back on hard drugs, went back to prison. You see, it was all about, well, I've got to fit in. The greatest witness we can have is a person that lives a life, a clean life, a solid life. I tell our students, don't think you can win your family the first time you get saved or the first year that you get to Calvary Commission. Give it time, because they've got to see that reputation that was bad came from bad character, and that finally if the character is really good, it will come to a good reputation and they'll believe in you. And I've seen it happen over and over again. Eventually, there will be household salvation and people will come to the Lord. But they've got to see that you're going to stand for something. We've got to be a people of no compromise. So what happens? I need to relax. They turn to a need, but they're really loving pleasure. To meet a need, they find this temporary pleasure. It turns that into a medication, and I'm going to have a little bit of this. And so why do many Christians fail to experience this real joy that I'm talking about? You see, joy is listed as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You want more of the Holy Spirit? You want the fullness of the Holy Spirit? You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is, Galatians 5:22, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It is the uniform of a person walking with the Lord. They've got joy in their life, and that joy is a spreading, contagious thing that we can take to the world around us. It'll be a great witness when people see there's somebody different. You want to be different? There are joy stealers. Chuck Swindoll suggests that there's three common joy stealers, and that is worry, stress, and fear. He says that worry is an inordinate anxiety about something that may or may not occur, and it usually doesn't. Most worries are over things that never happen, and it's that which brings blood pressure up. It keeps you from accomplishing what God has given you to do. And the opposite of that is faith and trust. Stress is a strain, intensive strain over a situation. We can't control, we can't change it. And so we have to say that, okay, but God can. So that's where our trust in the Lord comes in. We trust in Him. How many people that have done time in prison, they had that faith to believe that that next parole was going to be there, and they got a set off. What did they have to do? They had to go, and they had to say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. When I had that fifth surgery, and they said, I'm sure you're disappointed. I said, well, it's like swimming underwater. You come up for air, and you go back again. And so that's in faith that we're able to continue, even with a situation that we cannot control, but we have faith and trust that it's in God's hands. And I want to tell you, this world is in God's hands, and this church is in God's hands, and Calvary Commission is in God's hands, and He's got good hands, He's got big hands, He's got loving hands, He's got kind hands, He's got powerful hands, and He's going to take us through. We are going to get to the other side because He is the captain. He's never lost a battle. Fear is that uneasiness over danger, dreading things, evil or pain. But fear will magnify the problem. Faith and fear do not mix. So we have to be people that have the love of God in our hearts, that the power of God in our lives, the promises of God in our lives. After giving thanks for the Philippian believers, Philippians 1, 3 through 5, the apostle assured them that he who began a good work in you will continue it till the days of Jesus Christ. And so we know that if it's not happening today, that if Jesus is still in our life, it's going to get better. We're going to make it through, and that He's going to be there to know that. So we, with this confidence, we can begin each day knowing that God is in control. We can leave everything in His hands. Like I said, He's got big hands, and He's able to have those hands that reach out and go ahead of us. It's the God that goes before us. Philippians 4:4 is that other word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You say, what's the difference in joy and rejoice? Well, rejoice is just getting that joy back again. It's re means like returning that joy to us, that we can rejoice. We can rejoice. It's getting it back again, that we can rejoice. It's good at times to stop and think about, like the song says, look what the Lord has done. Maybe it's not happening today, but look what He did. He saved my soul. He forgave me of my sins. He gave me a new life. Look what the Lord has done. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I don't have the money this month to do what I need to do. But didn't He give you some money before? Hadn't He taken care of you before? Wasn't there a miracle before? So we sit and we contemplate those things. I've been writing in a journal since 1971. And there's times that I just need to go back to about one of those 10-year periods. It seems like there's several 10-year periods now. That I go back to those 10-year periods and I'll just read. And as I look at that, well, I would write down how I felt that day. But then a few pages over, I'd see what God did. Here's what we were facing, but here's what God did. You see, that's where joy comes in, and that's where that we can rejoice again in knowing what the Lord has done in the past. And we reminisce, and in that possibility, we rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. John 15, 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So it's the fullness of joy that He's talking about. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now Jesus spoke those words and He wants His joy to remain in us for us to have the fullness of joy. Psalm 42:5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Did you know that joy will bring a new light to your face, to your countenance? It will be there, and it will be that noticeable, and it will be that which is able to be contagious to others. John 15:11, I've told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy, yes, that your joy may overflow. The New Living Translation, And it says that will overflow from us to others. Psalm 118, 24. You need to say it every morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it. Even if it's raining, even if it's storming, it's His day. He made it. He created that day for us. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So why worry? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Did you know that thanksgiving will bring about joy when you start being thankful? Did you know that any form of complaining is a lack of thanksgiving? And he talks about being unthankful. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Satan will try to kill and steal your joy. He will use everything at his disposal to steal the joy away from you. That's where many times the beginning of depression comes. It's when you begin to do that which he will steal that joy. The works of the flesh will steal your joy. Unconfessed sin will steal your joy. The attitude of ingratitude will rob and kill your joy. But what will increase your joy? By offering praise and thanks to God. Even if you don't feel like it, we don't go by feelings anyway. But when you come into a place of praise and prayer and worship, go ahead and get in. Go ahead and say it out loud. Say it out loud. Yes, hallelujah. 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 The joyful people are people that praise the Lord. And I tell you, you will feel better. It will begin to make the devil mad, and he will stomp it out and leave because he does not like the name of Jesus. And we are able to overcome that feeling within us and bring forth that joy by praise and thanksgiving to God. We can come from prison to praise by praising the Lord, by lifting him up. Isaiah 61 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And so we can have that oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so it's a matter of praising God anyway, praising him anyway, no matter what, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, how that he may be glorified. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to have the joy of Jesus. Closing, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Was it say? Listen to this. Who for the joy that was set before him. What's he talking about? Talking about pain. Talking about sacrifice. Talking about crucifixion. Talking about being beaten. Talking about the sins of the world be putting upon him. And what did he do? It gave him joy. Why? Because he knew, despising the shame, that he would have completed what God told him to do. That we would have salvation. We would have healing. We would have hope. We would have the coming of the Lord promise. That he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So look at the joy of Jesus. And we see after the resurrection, when he went in with those two travelers on the road to Emmaus, and they did not know it was Jesus, but it said their eyes opened, and they said, as we walked with him by the way, you realize that was their joy was there because he was alive and he gave them joy. David Wilkerson said one time, someone came up to him and said, you don't look very happy. He says, what you don't know is that I'm in a terrible pain from a back injury, but I have a joy in my heart that is indescribable. You see, in the midst of that, in the midst of that, I took some Calvary Commission ladies to Houston. They had to go to the airport. We stopped by my aunt that was in the hospital. And they went in to tell her, you know, to comfort her. They left and they said, man, she just comforted us. She knew she was in the last days of her life, but had such a joy of the Lord that it was contagious to them. You see, it may be a pain in your body, but we can still have a joy in our soul, deep down in our soul, that we rise up. I want to tell you folks today that Jesus Christ can set you free. He can give you real joy. Maybe you've lived too long under the pain of the past. God knows all the details, but He is able to turn your sorrows into gladness. He is able to set captives free. He will give you real joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to ask you today, how's your joy level? Anything we've talked about this morning has taken the joy out of your life? You want joy? You want more joy? We need a song. Anna, we need a prayer team. Now, I want to say to this team, before you pray for anybody, you get some joy in your life. I said it's contagious. So whatever you need to do right now, you know, we used to say if you want joy, you got to jump for it. Well, I want to tell you, there's a difference in cheerleading and say, come on, everybody, let's say. I mean, no, that can be just religious. But when you get the joy of the Lord deep down in your heart, there is that peace that passes understanding. And I want to say this morning that if you're here today and you've never found Jesus, that you can't imagine. All you're doing is living with pleasures of sin for a season. But you can be saved and set free this morning by confessing your sins and confessing that Jesus is Lord. And by being able this morning to say, I want to be saved. These people up here will lead you to the Lord. So we're going to ask you to stand at this time. And if you want to be prayed for, come on. If you want to just take one of these places in between, and just fall on your face before God and say, God, I need the joy of the Lord in my life. I know we're going to be facing a time in the future of difficulties. And I need to not be a thorny Christian, that the cares of this life would bring me nothing there. Jesus, our Lord. Yes, God. Yes, do it, Lord.
More power.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
More of you.
Oh, yes, my Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Get the joy this morning. Yes, Lord.
More power. More of you in my life.
Oh, yes, Lord. The strength in your life. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Are you thirsty? He can quench your thirst this morning. If you're sick in your body, we pray for the sick here. Believe God can give you divine health. Yes, oh God. Yes, my Lord. Yes, oh God. Yes, Lord.
More of you in my life. More love. More power. More of you in my life.
it.
More power.
Yes, Lord. Right now, yes, God, yes, Lord. Don't leave this place without the joy of the Lord. Praise your name, God. Yes, God.
I will worship you.
Praise your name, Lord. Yes, oh God. Silas were in jail, solitary confinement, beaten in stocks. They sang at midnight. They had the joy of the Lord. Fiesta tonight at 6. So, just like the men had hamburgers last night, we will have tacos and tortillas. And so, but you need to bring them. We just kind of have a potluck. We eat what you bring. It'll be good. Salsa picante.
There's just something I wanted to share, Joe, that I was thinking about that a long time ago. I saw that Wiki Pratney gave a demonstration, and it was about obedience and joy. And the demonstration basically is he shows a train and he shows a caboose, and he shows that we make on our natural human mankind, we make decisions based on the train, and the train is whatever's going to make me happy. So I'll make my decision, you know, hoping that the joy is going to follow whatever that decision was I made. But the reality of it is, in God's economics, in God's kingdom, is we've got to make the decision based on obedience and worship and gratefulness, and then the joy follows. And it's not going to work any other way, because it's the same kind of situation when we look at, I keep constantly over and over again realize that in a natural state, we look at a situation and we think, well, that's going to be good for me, or I'm going to like that, and it's going to be a good situation. And the reality of it is even we know, and I was talking to somebody earlier about it, is a good situation doesn't mean it's a God situation, right? We know that good is the opposite of God many times, because the enemy uses, quote unquote, the good things to destroy you and take you in the wrong direction. But as we worship Him, as we're grateful, as we're obedient, the joy follows. But that's got to come first. Amen.
Amen. We We're going to send you forth with joy today. Stretch your hand this way. Get the joy of the Lord. Take it with you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios de todo tu corazón y de toda tu alma y con todas las fuerzas. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and give you joy. Jehová te bendiga, te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová hace sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I challenge you today to go and take the joy of the Lord to the world around you. Go and find that need and meet it. Find that hurt and heal it. Go and give people a reason when they ask for the hope that's within you, that you know Jesus, and he is a giver of joy. J-O-Y.